This is Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. Stephen Henderson. And as always, thanks for tuning in. We are in year three of the COVID-19 pandemic, and it is really something to sit back and think of the many ways we have changed the way we interact as a community worldwide. And while we've done a lot to fight the virus's spread through research and community action, there's a lot of people, I think, who are still wondering whether this will ever end or whether this is something that we will have to learn to live with and learn to adapt to over and over and over again. The BA.5 Omicron subvariant, which is the most prevalent subvariant here in the United States right now, is four times more resistant to COVID-19 vaccines, according to a new study. And that has it in the headlines all over the country. It is the latest iteration of the ways in which COVID-19 is challenging us and is the way that we are having to respond and having to adapt to its changes. Now, unvaccinated people, of course, are five times more likely to get infected and 14 to 15 times more likely to die from the disease than people who are vaccinated and boosted. And that's according to the Mayo Clinic. So, of course, we are always here on WDET encouraging people to get the vaccination and get the booster. Talk to your doctor about it before you do it, but that is the strongest defense still against COVID-19. But we still have lots of other things that we have to think about, things that we may need to do or not do in order to keep on top of COVID-19, to keep it from becoming the unbelievable spreading disease that it was back in 2020. Throughout the pandemic, we've had a couple of folks who are regular voices here on Detroit Today coming by to talk about where we are, what we should be doing, and how we should be thinking about the virus in really broad terms and what our lives might look like in a month or 6 months or 2 years. One of those voices is Dr. Paul Kilgore. He is co-director of the Center for Emerging and Infectious Diseases at Wayne State University and a senior investigator for Henry Ford Health System's Global Health Initiative. I'm really pleased to welcome Dr. Kilgore back to Detroit Today. Paul, it's great to have you with us again.
Good morning, Stephen. It's great to be here with you again. Thank you.
So let's start with where we are with COVID-19. I talked in the open there about the BA.5 Omicron subvariant. That sounds quite technical. Tell us what that is and why it's challenging us right now.
Absolutely, Stephen. So you're absolutely right. We are actually now in the third year. So we're 2.5 years now into the COVID-19 pandemic. And remember back in January 2020, we had this initial strain. We call it the Wuhan strain of COVID-19. And one of the things that we knew at that point was that it had a infective or reproductive rate of around 3.3. It's a number that we look at as we track the infectivity or transmissibility of the viruses. If you fast forward now to 2022 and we start talking about Omicron, the reproductive rate or infective ratio for that virus was 9.5. Now, when we talk about the subvariants of Omicron, the BA.4 or BA.5, we're talking about something that's much more transmissible than even those previous viruses. And so now we're talking about a reproductive rate of around 18 to 19. And this is right around the same kind of transmission rate that we see with measles, which we have traditionally regarded for decades as being the most transmissible virus. So what we're faced with now is something completely different than what we had back in January 2020. And so for that reason, when I talk with people about this new Omicron subvariant transmission, I really regard these as being hyper-transmissible. And that has several implications for us. And to your earlier point, Stephen, what can we do now to really protect ourselves going forward for the long term?
Yeah.
And I look at this you know, with three different lenses. One is take a look at your current health. Take a look at what medical conditions you have now, and also check in with your doctor. If you don't have a regular doctor, schedule an appointment to go in for a physical. It's a great time of the year to do it. Get that scheduled before the fall, and when school starts, you'll be prepared. That's true for parents and for children as well. Number two, if you have not had a COVID-19 vaccine, or if you've only had one or even two doses, check back in with your local pharmacy and or with your doctor, wherever you got your first doses, and make sure you go online today or call them to schedule that follow-up dose. It's very important because even though we know the vaccines are not perfect, having some protection on board with the vaccine antibodies is going to help protect you against having very severe disease. And that's especially true when we talk about people that have underlying medical conditions. And there I mean people with lung disease, people with heart disease, diabetes, obesity, any disease with immunosuppression, and especially older people who are 65 years of age and older. These are the folks that I really, really worry about. And those are the people that we really want to make sure get protected fully. Yeah. But keep in mind, even the younger people we know can be at risk. And as summer goes on, we get into events, weddings, barbecues, events that are going to take us in contact with people. We know that there's going to be potential for exposure to these subvariants. And for that reason, Stephen, go ahead.
No, go ahead and finish.
I was just going to say one more quick point that's very, very important. We're now into July. We're just about a month before school begins. And so one of the things I want to make sure I get across to parents, grandparents, anyone with children or children in the family, make sure that you bring your children in to the pediatrician or family doc or even local health department to get caught up on all the regular recommended vaccines for infants and children. And you can also get them vaccinated for COVID-19 now. And that's very, very important because as they come back into school, we know there's going to be a great opportunity for transmission of the BA4 and BA5.
Yeah. So here's something that I'm really concerned about. And it's the, I guess, the cultural moment that we're in with regard to the pandemic. I feel like in a lot of people's minds, they're just done with all of this. They're tired of the protocols. They're tired of the restrictions. They're tired of thinking about ways to stop the spread of this. And something you just said really points out how dangerous that is, that this BA.5 subvariant is as contagious as something like the measles. And, you know, putting it in that context, I think, gives us a real sense of how much danger there is. I wonder what you make, though, of the difficulty that we are going to have convincing people really to go back to things that most of us have given up. I mean, I have been flying a lot this year and have noticed, of course, the absolute zeroing out of masking on planes and in airports now that there is no FAA requirement that you do that. When I go to the grocery store, when I go to any place publicly, the number of people masking is down to almost nothing. How hard is it going to be to get people to respond to this new subvariant and how infectious it is?
This is a great point, Stephen, and really well taken. And I think the way I look at it is taking a very long-term view of our health. And the real question is, what are the optimal, what are the best health behaviors that we can adopt now for our own selves, but also for our family and children that are going to protect us for years to come against chronic diseases and infectious diseases? And I look at them in the same lens that I look at my own health. And when I consider that, I do think about things that are going to protect me against chronic diseases, for example, high blood pressure. So that means reducing or limiting alcohol. That means reducing salt. That means a healthy diet. It also means exercise. those kinds of things I look at together as helping to protect us against COVID-19. At the same time, I also look at all the vaccines and immunizations that can help protect me against shingles if I'm an adult, influenza during the regular season of influenza, COVID-19, all the other childhood vaccines that we want to protect ourselves against, and also thinking about healthy behaviors, getting out, exercising, sleeping well. Good sleep hygiene is so important. And all the other things that we know will help protect us, and looking at the long-term view, because I believe that we're going to be faced with COVID-19 for a long time to come. It's not going anywhere. And I think the best approach is to take a long-term view, doing things that are prudent and practical. And for my purpose and all the events that I'm going to, and indoor events especially, I'm wearing a mask. And if I'm going to recommend wearing a mask, it's going to be recommending an N95 with a good seal around the nose and cheeks, and also knowing that you can get these for free often from your local pharmacy at the same time you go in for your immunization.
I'm talking with Dr. Paul Kilgore. He's co-director of the Center for Emerging and Infectious Diseases at the Wayne State at Wayne State University. He has been joining us for several years now, talking about the COVID-19 pandemic, the various iterations of COVID-19, and how they all kind of challenge us to respond in the appropriate way to make sure that the disease does not reach the level of infectiousness or lethality that it had back in 2020. We're talking right now about the current scares with COVID-19 and the BA.5 Omicron subvariant. We want to hear from you during this conversation as well. If you have questions for Dr. Kilgore about COVID-19 and how we ought to be responding to this new subvariant, which he says is about as infectious as the measles, give us a call. 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to the WDET Facebook page and put comments there. You can go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we can work you into the conversation. Also, give us a sense of where you are with COVID and COVID protocols. Are you still wearing a mask when you're out in public? Are you avoiding large gatherings of people indoors the way that we were? Think about even this time last year, the kinds of restrictions we were observing because of the Omicron variant and its infectious nature. Or have you just dropped all of that? Have you had enough of COVID-19 and its disruptions in our lives? Again, 313-577-1019 is the number on the phones. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to social media, and we can get you into the conversation that way. Before we get to listeners, I want to talk just a little about vaccines, Dr. Kilgore, and where we are with developing even more vaccines, or vaccines that will continue, I guess, to be effective, or maybe even be more effective against all of these subvariants. I mean, COVID is not giving up the fight and seems to be changing itself to try to figure out ways around our vaccinations. Are we moving fast enough, I guess, to keep up with that?
Well, Stephen, that's a really great question. And the short answer is probably not. But one thing I can tell you is that the research going on, support through NIH and CDC and WHO and many other organizations, is really accelerating to help identify new vaccine candidates that will be more effective against the new subvariants. So we're seeing an mRNA vaccine against Omicron strains and subvariants, for example. The other thing I think people should also know about is that there is a lot of work that's been going on for now several months to develop what I would call a pan-coronavirus vaccine. So this kind of vaccine is really going to be effective, ideally, against all past, present, and future SARS-CoV-2 strains and other coronaviruses as well, potentially. And that's a really unique type of vaccine. It's a vaccine design that we've all wanted to have since the very beginning, actually. but technically and from a research standpoint is more complicated to design, test, and evaluate these vaccines. But it's something that is really, really high priority globally. So we're seeing a global research community really kind of circle around that as a major, major target this year.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we are going to get to your calls and your social media comments about COVID-19 and where we are with protocols and subvariants. Victor in Harper Woods, Ike in West Bloomfield, they'll be up first. If you want to join them, 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. You can also go to social media, Facebook or Twitter, and we can work you into the show that way. We'll be right back with more Detroit Today.
Bringing you news that matters.
Stories that impact your life.
Music from the Motor City and around the world.
This is 1019 WDET,
Detroit's NPR station.
This is Detroit Today on 1019 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. Our guest right now is Paul Kilgore. He's co-director of the Center for Emerging and Infectious Diseases at Wayne State University and senior investigator for Henry Ford Health System's Global Health Initiative. We're talking about the COVID-19 pandemic still going on and a new subvariant that is, Dr. Kilgore says, as infectious as the measles. So how should we be responding to that? Should we be going back to much stricter protocols in terms of masking and staying away from large gatherings indoors? If that's true, how game are you for that? Are you willing to go back to the kinds of things that we were doing in 2020 when COVID-19, of course, first appeared here in our country and forced us into massive disruption. So we want to hear from you about how you're responding to all of this. 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Facebook and Twitter and put comments there. Let's start with Victor in Harper Woods. Victor, what's on your mind?
Yes. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right. My habits haven't really changed much. I'm a bus driver. I keep my bus window open. I'm fully vaccinated, fully boosted. I wear my mask when I go shopping in a lot of places. Some places I don't. Sometimes I have it down on the bus with the window open. But if the bus gets crowded, I put my mask on. I do most everything I can to prevent it. If I get it, it wasn't from lack of trying not to get it. So I do as much as I can. If it, you have to go back to the mask, and I'm already doing it. You just got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. So Victor,
times and untrusted medicine method.
So Victor, I'm curious about your experience driving a bus during the pandemic, and I guess how cooperative people have been with the restrictions when they existed, and whether people who are riding now are still observing things like masking and maybe trying to stay away from folks, or have they just gone back to the way things were before the pandemic?
Well, I drive the Detroit buses, but for the most part, during the pandemic, I guess the mayor got the message out. And most of the people got on, they had on a mask. You had a few knuckleheads that wouldn't do it, and, you know, you had to do certain things. But most of the people, they had no problem wearing a mask. And about 70%, 60% of the people that get on the bus now still had a mask on and still asked if we have a mask.
Wow, that's good. That's a good number. Victor, I really appreciate the call and the information that that you share with our listeners. And, of course, really appreciate the job that you're doing. You know, public transport is so important in our city, and I know how hard bus drivers have had it, especially in the last couple of years. So really appreciate you showing up and being part of the solution for Detroiters. Dr. Kilgore, maybe Victor's kind of proven me wrong here. I was worrying earlier about people not wanting to go back to these protocols. He says 60-70% of the people on the bus are still wearing masks. That is a really good sign.
No, that's absolutely right, Stephen. And actually, I'm really encouraged by what Victor mentioned because, number one, he's a great example of what we all want to try to do. And the first thing that he mentioned is that he's fully vaccinated and he's fully boosted and he's wearing a mask. And one of the things that I wanted to just reinforce is that we know with the Omicron variants that they are going to be very, very easy to transmit. And one of the things that we can do to protect ourselves is not only getting that third dose, the first booster, but if you're eligible to get that second booster, the fourth dose, then please go and get it because that's going to give you the best protection overall, the highest antibody levels to help protect you against more severe disease from these subvariants especially.
Yeah.
The second thing that I wanted to mention, and it's fantastic that Victor is wearing a mask. One of the things I would mention to Victor and other bus drivers and other people who are in kind of frontline jobs is at your office or your local pharmacy, try to get a hold of an N95 mask. The N95 mask is going to provide better protection, better seal for preventing transmission or exposure than a typical kind of blue, what I would call surgical procedure mask. So I really prefer the N95 to prevent transmission. And if Victor can get a hold of those or contact his local pharmacy or health department, they would help to connect him with sources for those.
The other
thing I wanted to mention that I really am glad to hear from Victor is that he's doing all these things, and actually by doing them, he's modeling the kind of behavior that I think is really ideal. So he's serving as a model to all the passengers that he meets every day. And we all know that driving, and especially bus driving, is a very stressful job. So the last thing I would say to Victor that he could do, including myself as well as other people, is to think about a program of checking in with your doctor, getting a regular checkup, making sure that we have an exercise plan, a stress reduction plan for the long haul, for the long term, because we're going to have COVID-19 around for years to come. And I think the long-term plan that involves kind of a plan for your own health and wellness is a key to a good response to COVID-19 and preventing it and the severe effects of it.
Mm. You mentioned earlier getting N95s for free. Do you know where people can do that?
The best thing that I would recommend, there's a couple of things that you could do. One is call the health department, your local health department. The second is to call your local pharmacy. And typically there's kiosks or little places in the pharmacy where they have N95 masks. You can go and just pick up a few if you need. And if they don't have them, your local health department would also be a good source. If that is not profitable in terms of information, you can also contact the Michigan Department of Health, and they can provide information on where you might be able to find that, as well as other resources, including vaccines.
Yeah, yeah. Again, Victor, really appreciate the call and love the job that you're doing here for the city of Detroit. Let's go to Ike in West Bloomfield. Ike, welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you. I just wondered how the doctor feels about sort of a proactive approach in shielding the atmosphere around us. Specifically, there's a product, a nasal spray, that has the povidone iodine, which, as you know, years ago was used for free surgery type of treatments. How do you feel about nasal sprays that might protect the inside coating? Because
that's how you get
entry.
Great question. I hadn't heard much about that. Dr. Kilgore, what's the answer?
Yeah, it's a great question from Mike. And, you know, these nasal sprays have been around quite some time. The challenge with nasal spray is that you administer it, and depending on where you are, what situation or work environment you're in, if you administer it, the effects of it are going to be relatively short-lived compared with a vaccine or mask. And as a way to kind of reduce vulnerability of the nasal mucosa, it's a temporizing measure is the way I would describe it. So it would have limited effects, and there's not a great amount of data around the long-term use of this, as well as how it would protect people in the long term who are also vaccinated and or wearing a mask. The best protection by far and away is making sure you are fully vaccinated, have the boosters for the COVID-19 vaccine, and if you're in a work environment, indoor environment, group setting where you're close to people and where there's a risk of transmission, that's where you want to make sure you're wearing a mask, and that includes on a plane from my viewpoint.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, Ike, for the call. Let's go quickly to Marilyn in Oak Park. Marilyn, I've got about 40 seconds left, but want to get you in here. Go ahead.
Oh, okay, Stephen, I'll talk really fast. I am so tired of hearing people say they're just so tired of the pandemic as if it's a board game. We haven't been sitting here playing Parcheesi for almost 3 years, and nobody's demanding that you donate a kidney. Thank goodness that I think his name was Victor, the bus driver.
Mm-hmm.
But thank goodness he was on to say very calmly, which I can't be right now, he was there to say it's not a big deal, and he's using common sense. That's all we need to do. Boy, oh boy, that's it.
Yeah, Marilyn, really appreciate the call and agree 100%. You know, none of the things that we've been asked to do, in my estimation, are all that hard to do. Some of them are uncomfortable. Some of them feel disruptive. But when you think of the awful toll that we paid as a community, and especially during the early days of the pandemic, it seems to me protecting people, is paramount. Dr. Kilgore, again, I've got about 30 seconds left.
No, that's right. And Marilyn makes a great point. I really like what Victor is doing. He's serving as a model for our community. And if we can all do that, taking a long-term view of our own health, making sure we're up to date with vaccines and checking in with our doctors and getting all our medicines in order, that's the way to go for sure. And Stephen, one more quick thing. The telephone number information line for State of Michigan, you can dial either 211 or you could call 1-888-535-6136. And it's 535-6136 for more information on COVID-19 testing and vaccine locations.
Yeah. Okay, Dr. Paul Kilgore, really great to have you here with us, as always, on Detroit Today. Thanks for coming by today.
Thank you very much, Stephen.
That's going to do it for us today. Come back tomorrow when we're going to take a look at America's history with cash bail, why it matters, and what the court system in Detroit is looking to do about changing that. This is 101.9 WDET-FM, Detroit's NPR station, your connection to news, music, and conversation. We'll talk again tomorrow.